Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. Episode number 70. And it's Father's Day weekend. So before we get started, I got to say happy Father's Day to all you mothers out there and the mothers and fathers on this podcast. So,
motherfuckers.
There you have it. So before we get going, I got a bone to pick with this tournament this weekend that I'm at. They charged us $10 to go in and watch your own kid play. And they gave you a wristband. That is, I got a
problem.
Welcome
to the world of baseball, buddy.
Oh, I can't believe it. You're already paying for a tournament.
Bro.
And then they get you to come in and watch your kid and put a 10 spot down. I'm just totally blown away with it. It's already the second time it's happened. I thoughts? Anybody from the panel before we get going on that?
Bro,
they're trying to break you in for high school.
Bro, my kid is 8. We played our, you know, whatever World Series tournament a few weekends ago. $20 a piece for me and Jax to get in for one.
I gotta say, I never paid for baseball.
It was a 3-day tournament. They tried to cut us a deal and say, well, you could pay like $50 for the whole weekend as opposed to the 60. I was like, I'm paying $100 to watch my kid play baseball for the weekend after all the other fees and just to watch their team get absolutely fucking annihilated. Like, what is the point of this? And then the snack bar, the concessions are like Disneyland prices, man. Like, give me a fucking break. They made a killing for sure.
Where was the tournament? At the Astrodome?
Bro, this isn't a sportsplex in Pascagoula. Like, give me a break. It's not even a nice sportsplex, dude. It's like average.
Do they at least have the troughs to pee in?
Or is the it bathrooms are nice and air conditioned. So spoiler alert.
That's what you're paying for, bro. That's why it's $100. You're paying $100 to take a shit and piss in
the air conditioner. Bro, but all the tournaments are like that, though. Every time we go to a baseball tournament, usually it's like $10 a person to get in, you know, $10 a day. But when it's the World Series, because it's the you know, basically the end of the season, it's the big one. They rack up the price, man. It's stupid.
Terrible.
Since when did sports become big business like this? Like, maybe they should kind of scale it back to maybe not having. I mean, I get Andy. I mean, your post earlier today with the uniform. I mean, you know, if you're paying that much money for a tournament, I'd have to say that the swag on the, you know, should be a little bit better. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the jersey, but you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I
you
mean,
pay, like, you pay for the swag too. They don't give it to you.
No, they don't give it to
you. Yeah, I mean, when you go into they get you right off the rip. So with the hockey, it's all the same week. Like, there's 50 teams in our area, all town, club, whatever. They have it the same week. So you can't even pick and choose. You can only, like, maybe pick 2 teams you want to try out for. And then they'll pull at your heartstrings like a used car salesman to get you in there and whatever. And then as soon as you make the team, within, like, 24 hours, they want already a deposit to hold your spot. And if you don't pay your money in a certain amount of time, your spot's gone, we'll take somebody else. Then once you get your spot, then they send you like this thing for the jerseys. And not, it's not just the jerseys, it's like the, so you get the home jersey, the away jersey, you get the home and away socks to go with the jersey. Then they try to hit you up for the pants, which aren't really required, but if you don't want to look like a bender out there, you try to look kind of semi like you know what you're doing. And it's like you could be in just for the jerseys and everything alone, $600 easily. Ooh. And that's not even tuition for the season. Every tournament's at least, I don't know, I've seen it between a $120 and $350 just to play 3 or 4 games. Then you're driving to stay. Like, we're going to South Carolina next week. That's a hike. That's 14 hours in the car. So, you know, I mean, we're at a tournament this weekend. 2 weeks ago, there was another one, and this is just the summertime. In September, it's going to be guns blazing. We're going to Lake Placid this year. We're going somewhere else. God knows where. We'll be all over the place, but I'm not missing a podcast. Let's just say that. I'm not missing.
Hey, Ryan.
Perfect attendance.
Ryan, This reminds me of a conversation I remember hearing you talk about. I don't know if it was the one, I can't remember if it was Austin or Dylan, but the conversation about traveling down the Cape for an elite tournament years ago. And it was like, if you can't have a bad attitude, we don't have to do this.
Yeah, no, it's wild. The stories between the, like, brings me back to when Andy was talking about the tryouts, and they make you always feel like you got the last spot against like an imaginary person. So you rush to get that deposit in because you don't want the other person to get the last spot. And then you go to the first practice and there's only like 11 kids on the team.
Yeah. Andy, I think we just found you a new segment. What grinds your gears?
Yes.
Hey. I'll tell you, you know, what grinds my gears is I watched. Now, here's the show from my youth that I love. Now, you know, I am a Heather Thomas fan and I do love Lee Majors. I watched the new Fall Guy movie. What a shit fest. I'm like, what am I watching? I'll leave it at that. But I mean, we could do movie reviews for my segment or whatever, but that was absolute dog shit, that movie. So don't even watch. I refuse to watch the new Roadhouse. I refuse. I mean, you're not touching the old one. This, plus I heard a rumor that Rob Zombie's doing his own remake of Jaws. The first one.
Aww.
So let's cool your jets there, Rob Zombie.
Hey, I will say, as an avid Roadhouse fan, Roadhouse is like my top 10 favorite movie. I fucking love that movie. I can quote that movie from front to back when I watch it. Fucking love it. Cannot say that enough. The new Roadhouse cannot touch the old one, clearly. But there were enough little Easter eggs and nods to the old one. And Conor McGregor was hilarious. Is it as good as the original? Absolutely not. Is it worth watching and you can suffer through it and it's still an enjoyable movie? Yeah, I think you would like it.
The only thing that would save new Roadhouse, Bradford, is if Terry Funk was in it.
Hey, you know, I had a lot of gripes with it, man. But Conor McGregor, he's the new Terry Funk, dude. Like, Terry Funk was, you know, ECW badass wrestling, Conor McGregor UFC badass, you know, so there are a lot of nods to the original. There's a lot of Easter eggs. If you watch it closely, you'll catch them. I thought it was good. I watched it two or three times because I thought it was that good. So
we're segueing in perfectly to this week's email. Ed, you want to read this week's email? Because it has to do exactly with what we're talking about right now. Take it away, Ed.
Absolutely. So this is brought to you by Goon Guard. Goon Guard.
Roadhouse.
Check them out. What's that, Mel?
Roadhouse.
So this one is Watch Along. So that's the title of the email. So this is from Abe from Bonn, Germany. Oh, how about that? We're broadcasting across the pond now.
Well, let me correct you there for a second, Ed, not to cut you off, but we have asked the professor. We have had multiple emails from outside the U.S. So go ahead.
Well, I will say that, you know, we're goose stepping along into another country here. So, hey, I'm full of comedy here, huh? Look at that. So anyway, Abe, this is...
Take it easy, Sergeant Schultz.
I know nothing. I know nothing, okay? So, hi, 1973 Nation. I believe I have an idea that will bring more people to your content. You should create a special watch-along for old TV and wrestling shows with your brand of comedy. Make it separate from your weekly episodes. Well, Abe, I think that's a wonderful idea. You know, Abe, maybe you should, if I'm just going to say this, maybe you could tap into some BMW money or some Mercedes money or whatnot and send it to us, and we'll be more than happy to do that.
I'm going to toss this one to the professor. What do you think there, Thomas?
I am open to any and all ideas, and if it's going to help the show get more eyes on the show, I'm up for it. But I will say, with talking about what you were saying about views and everything, Germany, if you look at the stats, we've got probably a couple dozen downloads from all over the country in Germany. So we're pretty popular over there, I guess.
Like Hasselhoff.
Maybe you can sell like one of those Beethoven manuscripts or something at the Beethoven house, and like we'd be set for the rest of our lives and we could do this podcast and not have to work.
I think it's a really good idea. I mean, when I first read the email, when I was going through, I thought Mystery Science Theater was a great show. I always got a kick out of like their little zingers, and because it's robots, and it's actually a Jim Henson based show. Their take on like the old stuff like Plan 9 from Outer Space and B movies like that, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. That's the first thing I thought of when I sent it out. Brad responded with what I was actually thinking when I read it. So it does have wheels, and I don't think it'd be an every week thing, but maybe we can, I was talking to the guys before we came on, maybe we could pick an era and kind of watch it in chronological order and kind of watch like the storylines play out and just tear it apart. Or we could take a TV show and do the same thing. I think for copyright reasons, I think you have to do commentary over the actual TV show in order to post it. So I'll have to do a couple of trial runs with the guys with that. But Brad, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea. And I think our topic could be remakes of classic movies, starting with Roadhouse. We should start. That should be our first episode. Homework. Y'all have to go watch the original, and then we watch the remake. And look, man, they remade Dirty Dancing. They remade Footloose. They remade Roadhouse. Top Gun has a sequel. Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters has two sequels, and they're actually pretty fucking good.
I like them.
You want to go watch them?
I like them. I love them. I don't like the one with the chicks from Saturday Night Live.
No, the Saturday Night Live one was a complete bust. The ones where they actually got the crew together, those are great. I would be down for it, man. I mean, it's a time commitment, but I say we can make it work. I can make it work.
Phantom, what do you got?
I'm down. It's like real life Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, funny story. We all kind of plug into that quite nicely, don't we?
Yeah, like I said, it's all going to come before we move on from the topic. It's just going to have to come down to maximizing the time, and then also what we can actually upload, because I don't know if we can upload a whole movie and then critique it through there. We'd probably have to start with something small, half an hour, under an hour to see how it goes. But I thought that was a great question. Two great emails, 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely. Ed, thank you very much. There was a little bit of sarcasm with how I answered the question, but it really was a good question. And thank you very much for listening. We do greatly appreciate it. So, I mean, you know, we could do like an All in a Family one, or we could do MASH, or we could do
Welcome Back. This is going to be the segment that gets us all canceled and fired from work.
Yeah, we can't do all
that. I can't get fired from work. Yeah, no, I can't do that.
And you did say the Jeffersons, right?
Oh, no, and the Jeffersons, too, for sure.
Good times.
Yeah. All those 70s shows? Oh, man.
Fantastic, yeah. All of them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When, must watch TV.
Yeah, when staying home and watching TV with the parents with the 6, 10, and 12, when everybody was on the same page, we'll keep it at that. So speaking of wrestling, let's talk some wrestling. Let's move away from the email, get away from Roadhouse. And let's talk some, we can talk Clash at the Castle. We can talk about our weekly WCW deep dive into who killed WCW. We're going to talk Bradford. Let's talk Clash at the Castle. It's on Saturday. What do you got?
Man, I've been watching like the little clips from the pressers and the pre-shows. It looks like the crowd is just as turned up as France was. Drew McIntyre, obviously, is in his home country. He came out and the crowd went absolutely ballistic. Like, how can you not be a fan of Drew McIntyre right now? I know Chris is going to be so mad because we wanted Damian Priest to win the title. But look, Drew McIntyre is the best heel we have seen in a while. Give this man a title. Let him be the heel. He plays it to a T. Face Drew McIntyre was boring as shit. Heel Drew McIntyre is epic. And it's just building up for a clash with CM Punk down the road. Damian Priest is boring as shit as a champ anyway. He got the belt. He had his run, whatever. Okay, Drew McIntyre needs to win in Scotland. I don't see how he doesn't leave without that belt. And it setting up for a showdown with CM Punk is just going to be epic.
So, well, let me cut in right there and give you my fantasy booking as I like to. Does CM Punk show up without being announced and screw Drew McIntyre at the end to not win? Or does Drew McIntyre win the belt and it sets up the two of them for his return at SummerSlam
Because I don't think they're gonna screw him over in his home country. They like to give the home country people their credit and their due, just like Rhea Ripley when they went to Australia. You know, they let her play it up. I think Drew McIntyre wins it just because hometown hero.
I saw the Professor and the Phantom both chuckling because I know that the Rolodex was going. So I'm going to go to the Phantom first, and I want the thoughts on that.
I think the best thing going off coming off of Damian Priest is Bliss and Dirty Dom. That's like one of my favorite things going on right now. And it's, two people I could really care less about going into it, but start telling those good stories. And I want to see where it's going to go. And that's a little old school. That's how I like how to use the women as far as like in wrestling angles. She's the champion. She's an active part of the wrestling, but the soap opera esque stuff.
Yep.
Makes for good TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I steal a couple of pages from, people blow up the ECW for the wrong reasons, but there was that stuff that was pop culture based in storylines that was going on at that time with the music and like the whole rape. Remember when Raven had all that stuff
with Kimona? Sandman and stuff with his wife.
You need to steal a page or two.
I think full circle, Bliss is going to end up being with them, and they're going to turn Rhea good when she comes back.
You never know, man.
Liv Morgan, right?
You said Alexa Bliss, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, she's like the spitting image of Alexa Bliss, though. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
I get them mixed up.
You can get them mixed up with the lights on or off, right? Professor? Bring us back to True North. What do you got?
Well, it's funny because I went into this thinking that Damian Priest was going to win. And now I like what Brad said about the hometown. And then Drew McIntyre today broke kayfabe. And they had like the kickoff press conference. He broke kayfabe and he was talking about his wife. His wife's going in for surgery, emergency surgery, and she's going to miss the pay-per-view, so she's not going to be there when he fights. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give it to him, but I do think somewhere along the lines, Damian Priest, I could see it somewhere where they turn Damian Priest face and just fits better with having all those European guys. Like, even if they put Drew McIntyre in there, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh, those three right there are all European now. I do agree. I think Rhea Ripley, when she comes back, is going to be a face because of what's going on with Dom and what's her name. But I think they may end up just having him go out and do his own thing. I think he may just kind of go. I don't think say they'll kick him out, but I think he'll just leave and go on his own.
Well, I thought they were going to blow up Judgment Day way back, WrestleMania or a little after. But I think Priest loses. That's going to implode Judgment Day. McIntyre wins. He's going to be a heel champ that we desperately need right now. Cause I read online too, that the execs are kind of pissed off right now because since Cody won, that sales and viewership and attendance has been way down. So we need something to kind of stir it up. So I think McIntyre winning is going to be what they need for sure. So
speaking of that, did I see it correctly that Roman Reigns is going to be on NXT next week? Did I see that correctly?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes was on NXT last week, last Tuesday.
I was talking with Brad. I don't know if he posted it on a thread that we have during the week with stuff we're talking about, but it seems like NXT is the new AEW. It seems like it's
100%.
It's getting the viewership that they're stealing from Wednesday night on AEW, and now you got Ethan Page over there. I'm curious to see what they can do with him because he's a good-sized guy. Met him with the kids. All he wanted to do was talk hockey because he was from Canada. He was talking to him about hockey. I thought it was fantastic. So when you meet somebody like that and they make that kind of connection, you kind of root for him as a person. So I want to see what in that wrestling bubble what they can kind of do with him, because he is athletic. He is a bigger dude. So yeah, he does fit, you know, what they're trying to, if they are stealing guys little bits at a time, that's a good one. Anybody have any thoughts on Ethan Page before we bounce? Because I wanted to talk quick about Ricochet.
I don't have anything about Ethan Page, no.
No, I like what they're doing. They're bringing in all of Cody's boys.
So. You're right, right.
Little by little.
The rumor is that TNA is under so much that they're falling apart right now. They're actually fired like three of their head of creative and within the last like 2 weeks. And the rumor is that quietly TKO or whatever they call it that owns WWE, they're trying to buy TNA. And that's why you're seeing Jordan Grace showed up on, she's been fighting on thing. Moose has already mentioned that he actually asked Jordan Grace to say a good word with Shawn Michaels so he could try to come over. So I think slowly you're going to see them kind of combine.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from TNA shows up at Clash of the Castle, like as a secret appearance. Wouldn't be surprised at all.
Now, the traction that I don't like when they announce that guys are leaving. It would have been cool to see Ricochet get put out Rey Mysterio style. And then you don't know what's going on. I think they give away too much, when the outside stuff. I think they can't keep their mouth shut. I think they need to start doing some non-disclosure agreements with that kind of thing. But Phantom, thoughts on the Ricochet?
I mean, I think that's the way that they should put guys out. If you're switching companies, then you know it should be like the old days. You got to kind of put somebody over or have it be an injury or somebody, broke your leg and then you're gone. And whenever you show up after a couple of months, then it's like you're healed. So, you went somewhere else, like you ran them out of town.
I'm with you on that one. I'm always with
you. I saw a thing too with Ospreay, and he was talking about Ricochet, and he was pretty much saying that he's like, the way that WWE uses him, he's like only using like, I don't know if it was like a third of his moveset, like all his matches are only like 10 minutes long, that if they actually gave him more time than what they did, like the guy should actually be a superstar, because I guess when, I don't know if he wrestled with him in Japan or wherever they were together, I guess they were having like epic matches and he was should be a top guy, but I don't know if it was his size or his style. So maybe if he does go to AEW, it'll benefit him because they probably wrestle more his abilities.
Yeah, his no sell. That's the other two-thirds of his moveset, kicking out from pile drivers on the concrete. He knows
the personality of a brick wall. Like, he has the moves in the ring. He can do all the acrobatic stuff, but let's be real. Logan Paul does a better Ricochet than Ricochet does. Does the same moves with the personality. Carmelo Hayes, who also sucks on the mic, and I'm so tired of seeing these stars bitching about not having, their time in the spotlight. You can't cut a promo. You don't deserve it, man. That is the huge part. Like, you can't talk. Carmelo Hayes fucked up a promo just a couple weeks ago, and LA Knight saved him, right? But Melo is a better Ricochet than Ricochet. So if you want to, and I love Ricochet, man. I'm a huge fan, but like, you can't go out here and you can only flip off the top turnbuckle so many times before I'm like, you got to get a new bit. You have a
not everybody on the roster could be a Paul Heyman guy.
I mean, yeah, he has Samantha Irvin has probably kept him in the spotlight and on the roster longer than he is due. He probably doesn't even realize that. I don't think he's going to AEW. I think he's going to take a break. He's going to play the market, and he's going to have AEW make an offer and that WWE counter, and he's going to go with – he's staying where Samantha's at. He's not leaving her. As soon as he's gone, let's be honest.
Andy and Ryan and Tommy. Brad, sorry, brother. I'm tossing you out because you're the young guy here. But isn't this what they used to do with guys that weren't as good on the mic? They'd make them a tag team champion, and they'd put them with somebody that was really good on the mic? I mean, right?
Well, there's two guys that they always talk about that because of the structure of the WWF at the time.
EFG, HIJK,
right? So they stuck the Grand Wizard with Billy Graham, and he didn't even need the Grand Wizard. I mean, they worked well together, but they didn't need him. And the other one is Rick Rude with Bobby Heenan. You're taking two guys that were like, you don't. I understand why you put them together, but they don't need what you bring to the table from each other. I mean, Big John Studd and Bobby Heenan, yeah. King Kong Bundy and Bobby Heenan, yes. But no Rick Rude and Bobby Heenan. But
like, who are you going to get to manage Ricochet? All the managers are bigger than him.
Well, he needs a tag team partner with a personality.
That's my point.
Had an interview with MVP.
You're validating my point, Brad.
Yeah. MVP had an interview the other day, and he actually said that he tried to get Ricochet into the Hurt Business when he started, and for whatever reason, creative said no.
Wow.
It's a roll of the dice, though. But look right now, say what you want about CM Punk. He has gone to NXT during his off time, and his mentor, Trick Williams, guess where he's working with him at? It's not his in-ring presence, or his skills, or his moves. It's the mic work. Because, again, Trick Williams, huge athlete, kind of sucks on the mic. But Trick Williams is so over with the fans. You get that his mic skills polished up, he's going to make the jump to the main roster and very soon. And CM Punk is helping with that. Ricochet needs somebody like that.
Go ahead, Tom.
But you can also go back in the day. I mean, look at Kamala. I mean, Kamala good over him, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Kamala. Look at George the Animal Steel. Nice. Nice. I mean, come on, man. He good over too. So the thing about it is like, the thing is that these guys, they don't listen to the people that have been there before for help. That's the biggest part of the problem with all of them. Period.
Yep.
And I don't even watch WWE anymore because I don't. And then AEW, don't like it because the product sucks. Because funny story is just that all of us on this program, if we got loaded into a plane and stuffed in a room, I know we could come up with better storylines than anything they got.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah. I'm turned up, man.
Speaking of Kamala, this is just a rapid fire question. Phantom, Kamala, Hall of Famer.
I don't know. Nope.
Kimchi, Hall of Famer?
No, Friday.
So let's talk. One of the things we've been doing at all kind of spring season, our Dark Side of the Ring. Now, the second week of Who Killed WCW? Thoughts on my first thing was the Eric Bischoff story. Do you feel bad for him? Do you kind of...
I don't know.
What's the thoughts?
No.
Hail to the non-no.
Well, let's give Ed the floor because he didn't chime in too much during the last segment. So go ahead, Ed.
Well, first and foremost, I can respect Eric for the fact is that he got thrust into a position where he had an opportunity to take it and he ran with it. He took the bull and he ran with it. He did a great job. He attached his wagon to the wrong horse, being Hogan. And it just seems like all the stuff that you hear is, oh, this happened, so I did this, and I did this, and this, and this, and that, and all this other shit. And it's like, come on, bro. There's an excuse for everything on why you did something. Come on, man. Like own it. Be like, look, Hogan had the eyes on the TV screen. Like, own it. Come on, man.
Oh my God.
Enough is enough. I mean, you made at least $500,000 in all those T-shirts you made out of Rhode Island, dude. Come on.
We have a guest.
Ed, you want to give the floor to?
I'm going to give the floor to Cristal, the ice cream man.
The ice cream man. Listen, here we are live at Midget Mayhem in Taunton. There is a show and a half going on in there. I wish I had service to bring it to you guys. I got videos if you want it. We'll get it later, load it up on the podcast. But man, it's loud in there. It's awesome. These guys are spanking each other silly. It's great. I'm loving every minute of it.
We got two demands. We want a run-in and an arrest video.
that might happen tonight. Don't request too much because, I'm in rare form. So,
So, Chris, we're gonna stay with you as long as you want. Get us the best you can, and then we'll attach it to the podcast.
All right, I'm trying. I can sneak in there for a bit, but if you lose me, it is what it is. All right, guys?
Yep.
All
right, man.
Oh, this is crazy.
Yep, we lost him.
Oh, man, he's gone. We made it through the doorway.
Haiti kid got him.
Chris, can
all
take
I can
it
picture
out.
Is the video of that kid that got tased the other day on the baseball field. He did a backflip. He ran on the field and did a backflip. And as soon as he finished the backflip, the guy tased him. There's a close up. Of him. There he is. He's back again.
Yeah.
You can say he got lit up, right, Tom?
It's a metal fortress in there. It's a metal fortress in there, man. As soon as we go in there, I lose everything. That
all
sucks.
Right, cool. Just go back, tear it up, and send us some videos. I'll add it.
I will do that.
All right, guys.
Loser must appear on the podcast.
Hey, do me some justice. Tear it up over there, all right?
Keep your pants on tonight, Chris.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ice.
Never that. Never. We don't keep pants on. You know that. Come on, guys.
You can't use
music is Ice Ice Baby now.
You can't use that excuse that you went to see midget wrestling and your pants blew off.
Oh my God. He's out. Lost him.
Thomas, thoughts on who killed WCW? Let's get back to
I thought it was really good. I actually caught up with both episodes and I thought it was really good. I really liked the second one and it does make you a little sympathetic towards him, but to be honest with you, he's got to grow a pair of balls. If you're in that business and he plays off like he's this big businessman, you got to play businessman. You got to fight back if you don't agree with something. I mean, don't kowtow to these guys. And granted, the execs have the money, but I mean, Ted Turner had all the money and at that time, and he was the only guy that liked the wrestling. So, I mean, I think he would have been all right, but I mean, the whole Goldberg stuff, I never liked him and I don't like him after seeing that.
My takeaway from it is if you ever want to kill your, and we can put this message out to Tony Khan with AEW. You give somebody creative freedom of their character, and you're not the final say. It's a slow death or a quick death. I mean, but how else can you put it? Everybody from when Nash got the book, everybody is kind of self-serving when it comes to that stuff, and they're going to put themselves over. And the way they had something there with Goldberg. He was a big part of that 83 weeks where they were rolling and, to, you know, have that streak end like that. And especially, you know, like Bischoff said, you know, if he loses to a 6'10" giant, then, you know, that's kind of believable, but was he the guy to do it? Hogan put him over clean, which, you know, for him was a big thing. You know, he was eventually going to get that win back somehow. But yeah, it's a lot of talking heads, and you always don't know who to believe because hindsight, looking back on it, they can backtrack too. And like Bischoff had said, those guys are the ultimate politicians. So how do you know that they're not politicking in an interview? I mean, you see a lot of shoot interviews that they contradict themselves. Lex Luger's notorious for that with the whole Miss Elizabeth thing. So, thoughts, Phantom?
The thing that I thought was cool about it was when they were talking about the Goldberg gimmick, which to me was always like their version of Stone Cold, the black trunks and all that. But when they were saying it was like more of a play on the Mike Tyson thing,
well, who's
short that? Boots. I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty cool, which kind of made sense. I mean, Tom just said he didn't like him, so he's going to go against what I like. At that time, when he was doing that run, everybody liked him. He was like flavor of the month or whatever it was, the way they first brought him out, and he didn't have any music, and he was going against Hugh Morris, and he kind of had that squash match, and then the whole thing with the streak was really, really good. But then they have him drop it with the cattle prod. It's like kind of like what we talked about with Sting dropping and getting the belt off of Hogan. Great story right through, and that's the conclusion. That's how you make him lose the belt. And then to have Hogan get the belt from Nash the way they did it, ridiculous. Just made the product horrible.
I'm going to sidebar here for a second.
Go
Andy,
ahead.
I'm going to ask you this question because I know that you're going to know where I came from with this. I mean, Bischoff kind of loses some credibility because Bischoff's said that Bret Hart has no talent. You know where I got that from.
Was it from a cereal box?
Maybe. Not.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it Hulk Hogan that said that Bret Hart had no talent? I mean, that was one of the things that when he took the belt back from Yokozuna, when Yokozuna beat Bret Hart, he said he had to take it back because Bret Hart had no talent. I know that it's almost like stories on a reality TV show. They never seem to jive all the time. I thought Kevin Sullivan was great talking about going back to what the Phantom said about the Mike Tyson look. It was Kevin Sullivan that had said that. And I think that, I don't know what Kevin Sullivan was doing at the time, but maybe he was the right guy to take the book from Eric Bischoff at the time instead of Kevin Nash. But who knows? Who knows? 83 weeks, that's a long time to be rolling like they were. But the best guy that seems to talk the most open and honest to me, and I think
Conan.
Yep. He just, if you want to get...
Did not age well either.
Well, he's had a lot of liver problems.
He's only 18.
I'm going to say he's probably 85.
His health. My goodness.
That's some hard living right there. We'll leave it at that. Brad, what's your take on this week's episode?
I mean, I agree with what y'all said. You know, when the professor said, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Goldberg either. Like, growing up, I was like, who the hell is this guy? Ex-NFL player trying to make it big in my wrestling. Like, don't come in here with your washed-up career. But he was so over, and it was so fun to watch. Like, I was in for it, man. I don't know why you would explode that, or implode it, rather, when they were cooking with Goldberg, man. Like, did WWE just go in and destroy Undertaker's undefeated at WrestleMania? No, like, it was a work. It was a long time that they built that up. Like, why would you do that to Goldberg? You're beating the competition. You're beating the brakes off of WWE. But I think what you said, Andy, Tony Khan needs to watch these episodes and take notes, because what he's doing right now, it's the similarities are, it's unreal. And when he gave creative and booking over to Kevin Nash, I was like, oh, this makes a lot more sense now, because I remember that chain of events. Like, as a kid, y'all think I was in high school watching that when Nash just laid down and Hogan pinned him. I was not a fan of that. And Nash was like, listen to the crowd. I was so over, they loved it. And I was like, bro, I don't know what you're hearing. It sounds like they're booing. This kind of whack, like, this whole process. Do I feel bad for Bischoff? No. He got ousted by executives and financiers and CEOs and bookworms that are way more into it than he was. Like, he was in way over his head. He was a sales guy. He got ousted by guys that were down into the legalities and into the weeds of it, man. Did you see where he retired to in Wyoming? I don't feel bad for him. He's living the best life ever, making these documentaries.
The t-shirts, bro.
I think AEW really needs to look at what happened with how they let Kevin Nash book these, and even Bischoff said he was trying to please too many people, and it imploded on itself, man. Like, you can't do that. But draw the line somewhere.
But it goes back to, like, the thing about it is, Brad, to reiterate your point, Andy's point, Ryan's point, and Tom's point. The thing about it is just that the blow-off on why AEW and WCW shit the bed is because the storyline's great up until the point, and then when the blow-off happens, it's crap.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do with Goldberg.
Look at that whole devil gimmick that AEW did. It was really cool. I mean, what's name screwed it up when he got hurt? But same shit.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, when they blow it off, it's crap. And, like, WWE always seems to have, like, a plan of, like, okay, this is where we're going with the storyline. Blow up happens. Where are we going to next?
Well,
you look at the difference between the two of them. WCW gets Bret Hart coming off of the screw job. yeah. with zero plan for him. But then going the other way, when Jericho went to WWE, instant superstar.
Like, instant. Y2J.
Yep.
It's like, I can't see how you're going to invest that, what do you say, $2.5 million contract that he got?
Yep.
And then your only plan is just to have him show up on Monday and just to get that initial pop, just like AEW does. The biggest thing they ever do with any of the guys is the first day they show up. Then after that, they got nothing else for them. It's sad.
But the thing that kills me about when they get these guys is don't tell anybody you signed them. Have them sign an NDA and so that it's all hush-hush. Don't even tell you're in a circle of EVPs or whatever that you got them, whether you get, say, Ricochet. And then is it better to save him for a surprise on a TV show with out being announced, or is it better to do like they do where a very few people pay for the pay-per-views anymore, and then you got to wait until 1 a.m. because the pay-per-views are like 6.5 hours. And then there's...
I think the ratings changed all that, because now it's like the only reason why they want to get these guys is for the ratings. So they got to tell you ahead of time that he's coming, because if he just shows up and nobody's watching, you lost your chance to get the ratings for him.
So two similarities there though, Andy, right? WCW in this episode said they were putting these great matches on Monday nights that should have been put on pay-per-view. They would have made a shit ton of money.
That
AEW is doing the same thing. They're putting on great matches that should be reserved for their premium or pay-per-views, what they call them, right? And it's mind-boggling why they're not doing that, man.
So the philosophy,
making the same mistakes.
Anybody that watched wrestling growing up in the 70s or 80s, they never gave you nothing for free. They wanted you to go and pay your money to see the payoff. It was like the first really big angle that I remember as a kid that really stands out, that was like an oh shit moment, was, now I wasn't a Bruno fan because Bruno was already done when I started watching, but he was back, and it was like Bruno was like the Gordie Howe, he was like the guy that like built the WWF and the way they presented him. And he would come on as a commentator, whatever. He would wrestle every blue moon, but it was like, and then Larry Zbysko, who was his protege, turns on him and hits him with a chair, and Bruno gets bloody on TV. And I was probably 7 years old when it happened. And that whole year with the build-up to the Shea Stadium show, people wanted to freaking kill Larry Zbysko because of that. Because some of us had never seen Bruno wrestle, so we're like, oh shit, this guy's getting back in the ring to take care of business. And you had never really seen him. So it was always like Bruno would do maybe a show at the Garden. And it was all like warm-up matches. And he was just fighting jobbers, but you were wanting to go to the Garden so you could see Bruno live, because you had never seen it before. So they lose that luster by giving you too much on TV. It's like a hot air balloon. Just keep putting a little air in it and just let it go. Yeah. Let it go. And I don't get the philosophy of not building a ticket sale, putting asses in seats. Say what you want about Hogan, but if it all about spending money and getting you to go, Hogan in the 80s was changed wrestling, changed it. Changed the whole landscape.
Rock and wrestling experience, baby.
All that stuff. I mean, they were on MTV, the Saturday Night's Main Event. They were on prime time. They never had that before that. And so I would always like the NWA because it was more sports based of what I like. And the finger point of doom that, the Hogan, Kevin Nash thing, it's not sports based. You would never see that in the UFC. Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Look at your wrestling product. Like, would the UFC do that? If you say no, then don't do it. Try to be sports-based. Suspend the disbelief of, hey, are these guys really like shooting in a match? Or do these guys really hate each other? And don't go on Twitter and be buddies after that. Just present it in a way for an intelligent audience, not smart marks.
Yeah.
Did I go off too much on that one there, Professor, or what?
Grinds my gears.
Grinds my gears.
But what I actually liked about What's that, Brad?
That I did like when Kevin Nash said when they gave him booking power, the first thing he said in the interview was, a face doesn't sell tickets. It put asses in the seats. Heel champions do that. I'm like, oh.
Well, that's fine. I know Tom wants to dive in, but I will say that the professor and the Phantom will agree with me that the chase is in the heel champion. The chase, yep. The money is in the heel champion because you hate him so much, you just want somebody to beat him. And yep. People nowadays don't have the mindset to wait. You know, it's an instant gratification. And when you make them wait and you make them wait, you get more and more heated. So there is a philosophy to that too. That was always the WWF versus the NWA. The money was always in the chase of the heel champion, Holly Race, the Ric Flairs. So do you want to add to that there, Professor?
Well, what I was going to say was about the WCW thing was I liked how they had, I know the Rock's production company produced this, but I like how they had him on there given the WWE perspective and saying like, oh, they were watching it backstage and how Conan was saying that he was, when WWE finally started coming back, how he and I think he said it was Disco Inferno or it was Buff Bagwell, one of the two, were watching WWE backstage and they were giving him shit and he was like, hey, it's good. <He
said, laughs> Yeah, I
wonder if they're ever going to bring up the thing with Bischoff that he fired Stone Cold when he was stunning Steve Austin. He FedExed him when he was home. And that was always no face-to-face. They would always hit you when you were home with the thanks, but no thanks. So, you know, if they had just kept on keeping on with Steve Austin, I know he would have never turned into Stone Cold, but I mean, that character was always there. It was just hidden under the robe and the long blowing balding hair.
Yeah.
Any more wrestling talk, or you want to move on and talk some sports?
Sports.
All right. It's time for Tom Shitty Picks.
Nope. Okay. Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, their seltzers, their vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, this week I'm running out of, like, getting out of the easy way and picking sports finals. So I'm going to go back to going back to the fantasy baseball. And this week
I'm going to say pick the Mavs tonight.
I know they're. Yeah. We'll get into that.
By like 20 something.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the catcher from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Will Smith. Next week, he's got six games. Four of them are against Colorado in Colorado, and two are against the Angels. And I just think he's batting .294 with 10 homers. I think it's just Colorado's made for him with his – he's got that swing that hits long fly balls, get it up in that air, and he's going to hit a couple out. I think he's going to have a big week.
So what – before we get into the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, we want to mention a passing of a legend this week. One of the guys that when I first started watching sports and basketball was on, him and Dr. J were probably the one and two when I started watching it. And fond memories of, Jerry West and his foul shooting was always a thing when I was a kid that I was enamored with. Thomas, you want to add to the Jerry West passing?
Yeah, I mean, the guy, he's a legend. I didn't realize that the silhouette was him on the NBA logo. I never realized that. I don't know why I never knew that. But, I mean, the guy, he won at West Virginia. He was an NBA champ, finals MVP. And, I mean, the guy was a great GM with the Lakers. I mean, they won, I don't know how many championships with him. But the story I liked was this week, Joe Mazzulla played at West Virginia. He said when he was playing there, he said he got a phone call from Jerry West, and Jerry West ripped him a new ass. He said about 15 minutes long, he says all he did was yell at him, you know how you've got such a great opportunity and you're pissing it away and giving him a hard time. And he said it helped him. He says that's how he says he's one of the ones that takes that and feeds off of it. And they became pretty good friends. He said that he actually stayed at Jerry West's house in California during the summer one year. And he said that one time he got up and he was late for the workout that he was supposed to do. And I don't know if it was with Jerry West or not, but he said Jerry West just started yelling at him, told him not to eat breakfast, just get on the – he said, you know, does, you haven't worked up an appetite yet. Go out on the court and work up an appetite before you eat. So he has said he had to go out there and work out. But it's just good stories. I mean, I've never really heard a bad thing about him.
Phantom, do you want to bring these guys up to speed on the show that you keep trying to tell me to watch about the Lakers and the Jerry West character?
You got to watch it. It's so good. So good. Title is like escaping me right now. What's it called? Showtime?
Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
That was have you watched that?
No, it's on my list, though.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch it. So good. Yeah, and especially if you came up during that time. It's funny because you look at how they casted different characters, and it's like you're first looking at them going, I think they kind of could have got somebody better. But as the show goes along, they actually nailed like quite a few of them. It's actually really, really good.
So the Jerry West thing that is noteworthy that he went to the NBA Finals 7 times before he won his first title. That's pretty amazing. So talk about
he was the first player to to win the MVP on a losing team.
Yeah. So we've since this podcast has started, we've lost so many of the people that we grew up watching. So it just puts things in perspective when you see these
That's
things.
That's because we're becoming the old people.
I don't have a watch. I mean,
we're all getting old and we're all getting tired.
Yeah. You're all getting older. I'm still in my prime.
We're still sexy as fuck though, Bradford.
And we just know
just ask your baby face professor over there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not available, just saying.
I disappoint everyone.
Yeah.
So let's talk NBA Finals. Let's go with the mayor of Hazard County and his Mavs. And Bradford, what do you think?
There's nothing to talk about, man. Like, they're getting smoked. It's blowout every game. Tom called it. You know, they shut down Kyrie. You're going to have a different ball game, which they've done pretty effectively. But Luka's not getting any help. He's a huge liability on defense. And like I said before the series started, like, they battled through the West. They're at a point now where their star players, Luka and Kyrie, are tired. They're exhausted. They're playing injured. And I haven't watched any of this game because it's been on during our podcast. But in game 3, Luka's shot was just like they just looked deflated. Every shot he took, every play, every move, he's not looking like he can go the distance. And that kind of leads me to my point. Like, if you want to win a championship, Luka, bro, you're 25 years old. You're a professional athlete. Get in shape, man. Like, go hit the gym. Get your cardio up. Get your weight up. Build some muscular endurance. That way you can go to the distance in the finals. There's blowing out Boston right now, but let's be honest. There's no money to be made in a 4-game sweep in any championship series. We knew they were going to get at least one. They're going to take it back to Boston. They'll blow them out tomorrow. Series over.
Gonna win in the Garden.
They'll win at home for Boston. And then not tomorrow. The 17th is the next game. Boston wins it. Series over. NBA will make their money on 5 games.
Professor, you want to add to that?
It's just the Celtics just have too many weapons right now. I mean, the secondary guys for the Dallas aren't doing anything. I mean, the three guys, Gafford, Jones, and Lively, I mean, none of them are averaging double digits right now in the series.
Missing shots, no defense. My God, dude.
Celtics have 5 guys in double figures, averaging double figures and for the series right now. It's just – and the defense, they just stepped it up defensively. And, I mean, they're frustrating Doncic so bad. I mean, and that brings me to another thing with – and Brad and I were talking about it before we went on the air. He's just – I'm so sick of seeing him whine. And it's not just him. The whole league does it now, but it's like every play with him, all he does is first thing he does is look over at the refs and start crying. And I think it has affected the series. I think the referees have stopped calling things because he complains too much.
Yeah.
Phantom, want to add anything for your Celtics?
Yeah, you know, Well, I'm glad I get to see him win. I don't really enjoy it the way that I used to enjoy it, but you know, it's still my favorite team. So you want to see another championship get added. But as I'm watching, dude, Tatum, that guy's got zero killer gene for a guy that's like a superstar. I don't want to say sucks, but it's like big games, he doesn't do shit. Anybody that's like your top guy, like your go-to guy, go back to the past. The best guys are always the best guys. And it's like, you're playing in the finals, and it's like, this guy doesn't do shit when it counts. I don't know, man. I think it kind of blows.
So you're kind of comparing Tatum to Ed in the championship game?
Oof. Oof. Superstar.
Doesn't show up. Drunk during the championship? I have pictures to prove it and a black eye.
Oh, my God. That's a story for another podcast.
Yeah. So, yeah. Professor, we're moving on from the basketball so Ed can stop the clock.
Yeah, put it down, Darren, Scotty. You got 3 weeks in a row we've talked basketball.
Right, and we didn't even talk Harlem Globetrotters. So let's get back to our true north, the Stanley Cup Finals, Florida Panthers. That's the way hockey should be played. Grind them out, make them pay. Do they finish it in four, or does it go five? Professor, let's start with you.
I think it's over. I think I predicted five, but I don't think it's going five. Edmonton, they're not getting. It's funny because Edmonton's actually getting secondary scoring, and Florida's just shutting Draisaitl and McDavid down. I mean, they're getting shots on net, but they're getting shots that, I mean, and from out too deep where it's not effective. And the defensively, I mean, Bobrovsky up until this last game, I think he had like a string of like 12 straight games where he hadn't given up more than two goals in a game.
Ed, thoughts on Edmonton's power play from a guy that didn't get a lot of power play time?
I don't really have much to talk about their power play because this series is 100% goaltending. And Thomas, I disagree with you because the thing about it is last night, Edmonton had 18 shots from the slot last night and they didn't hit it. So the thing about it is that I think, honestly, game one and game three, Edmonton outplayed Florida. But to both Thomas's and Andy's point, Florida is just built to win the Stanley Cup playoffs. All these other teams that they've matched up against were built for the regular season. These guys are like sandpaper, and they grind and grind and grind and grind, and they score timely manner. And Bob, he's the wall, man. And the thing about it is that the goal, what is it? Let's see, his save percentage is like, what, 820 something versus 886, I think, or 896. You're going to win every time. And Thomas, to your point, bottom line is that the Draisaitl, 0 points, right? 0 points. See, and I'm not even the professor on that, but I know this.
This is true. You are correct. The thing about this series is it's amazing when you get the whole team buying in to a philosophy. And it's not that devil's trap crap that it's boring to watch. You cannot tell me that watching the Panthers play that style is not fun to watch. It's long overdue. You know, they're heavy on that forecheck. You watch that forecheck and those guys are like rabid dogs trying to get that puck or break up some kind of play or frustrate Draisaitl and McDavid. And for me, I always say that you can beat a team multiple times during the season because you're not playing them back-to-back nights. You stop playing a team with that kind of style for a 7-game series. If you're not ready for it or if you're like, we got the talent to beat that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Phantom, thoughts on the series? Are they done?
Yeah, the thing, yeah. I hope that Edmonton can at least let them win two. Like make it a little bit interesting. I agree with Ed. I thought Edmonton outplayed them two out of the three games. It's just Florida so like structurally sound. That's that's the difference. I don't know if it's veteran coach versus rookie coach. If the adjustments aren't being made on the Oilers' side, I almost kind of feel like the Oilers knew that the Panthers were coming in tough, and it's almost like they're coming in with the attitude like they're not going to punk us like they do to everybody else, and they're kind of getting out of their game a bit. It seems like Edmonton's the one that's kind of playing actually a little dirty, as if to say, like, you know, you're not going to bitch us out here, but it's they're kind of not playing their game because of it. And then I think the superstars, I don't know, I'm sure they're definitely pressing, but they're trying to do too much rather than just you know, play within the Panthers, play within your system and do your thing. I hate when they go on the power play, and I've seen them score there 1,000 times, but Draisaitl likes to take that shot from like almost like on the goal line, like below the half wall. Fuck, man, work that thing back up to Bouchard. Let him fucking rip it and just crash the net.
I am not a Bouchard fan. I think he's overrated.
Oh, I think he's good, but, you know, he's a power play guy. You know what I mean?
And he tapped out in the chokehold from Ekblad.
Got choked out. Gotta let him put you to sleep.
I also they'll never say it, but they always show it. Like, they'll zoom in on a guy's face that's having a bad game, and they won't say his name, but they'll just show him, like, having a bad day on the bench, and he's one of them. And in the Rangers series, they were doing it to what's his name on defense? DeAndre Miller?
Yeah.
All the time. It's like, he looked like he didn't even belong there, to tell you the truth, the way he was playing. Giving up pucks up the wall and stuff like that. Terrible. Terrible.
I think a lot of times, too, they have, like lazy journalism, where it's like, if you've got a guy that's on the top pair and he's playing half the game, they love to throw the plus minus at him. Oh, he's been on the ice for 4 goals this series. He's playing almost the whole fucking game. Like, yeah, you're losing the series. He's gonna have minuses. Nurse has been playing like shit. But yeah,
he played like shit last night, big time.
But they're not losing because of him. He's just out there all the time. If he's not on the team and you're not getting that 25 minutes from him, it's really gonna get bad.
What?
They do it every series, every round. There's always a guy. The Bruins fans were doing it to McAvoy. It is. If you're the number one and your team loses, it's like, hey, guess what? You're going to be out there for goals. The other team scored and you're not, but it's not your fault.
Well, that's just like that second goal. The thing about it is just that I think it was the winger that came in. The defenseman released him and he stepped in there, and all of a sudden Skinner went to go get the puck. The defenseman released the guy. Shit, even I could have scored from there. And yeah. Andy, insert joke. Ryan, insert joke. Tom, insert joke on that one. Come on.
I could never see anything. I was never on that side of the blue line.
From a career minus player, that's saying something, Ed.
Hey, look, I advanced us to the playoffs from my face. So come on now.
That is true.
Just saying. I had my head put through the ice by a defenseman, and I could see it on my own. Oh, look, there's a puck. I should probably chip at it. And it went in. The only reason why I knew it went in is because the whole bench went out.
That was goal number one of the season.
Yeah, and that was like second to last game of the season.
So before we move on from our Stanley Cup Finals talk, we have to get Bradford. Thoughts on the series? Are the Panthers sweeping, or is it going further than 4?
First of all, is the Stanley Cup Finals still going? Second of all, what teams are in it? That's not for real. Who's in it?
It's the Savannah Bananas and the Body Animals.
Okay, Bananas in 7.
Okay.
I'm going to say it right now.
So, speaking of Bananas, it's another good segue to the mayor of Mayberry, Bradford, in his tinfoil hat. Professor, lead us in.
Okay. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the 1973 Podcast Store. Check out both of our stores at either www.bonfire.com/store/1973-podcast-store or our other store at spreadshop.admin www.spreadshirt.com/1973-podcast/. Or we're going to put the QR code on here, and that's the easiest way to do it.
Yep. Or
can you repeat that again? Because I only got like four letters in on the first one.
No, sorry. Let me go get some oxygen first. I got to work my oxygen back.
Also, if you noticed, all during every one of the podcasts, T-shirts and swag will pop up all during the episode. So just click on one of those.
Mug, you cheap bastard.
Yeah, buy a coffee mug for your father for Father's Day.
Ooh, father, nice.
Fathers like coffee.
Yep, and mothers like coffee too. Some of you fathers are mothers.
Your mothers.
Mother.
Take it away.
All right, so this week's conspiracy theory is a little bit of a history lesson for America. Pre-Christopher Columbus in North America, basically stretching from Louisiana, Mississippi, up to Wisconsin and the Great Lakes, there were a race of people known as the Mound Builders. They were, the skeletons have been found all throughout the country. There were 7 to 10 feet tall people. There are stories of the Native Americans in Utah battling them in these great epic battles. They found a 7-foot mummified version of one of them in Yosemite. They lived in these, they called them Mound Builders because they lived in, get this, flat top pyramids. So again, pyramids, ancient cultures, it was common throughout more places than just Egypt, and in the Mayan cultures, these pyramids were everywhere. So the conspiracy is that these giant human skeletons have been found. They found them in Wisconsin in 1897. They found them in Georgia in 1886. So the question is, where are these giant skeletons? The Smithsonian allegedly has been dumping this shit into the ocean or burying it somewhere and trying to keep it out of public eye, because if we discover that there was an ancient race, they call it the Lost Race myth, of these giant peoples that lived in America pre-Christopher Columbus, it essentially destroys the narrative of Native Americans, you know, living here, you know, in harmony with the Pilgrims, and then, you know, the cowboys versus Native Americans, you know, history that went on in the Wild West. It destroys their whole narrative. And so that's why the Smithsonian is kind of being accused of destroying this stuff. So one conspiracy, if you want to call it that, do you believe in the giants, the pre Columbian race of 7 to 10 foot people, and do you believe that the Smithsonian has been trying to cover this up?
I do. I'm going to jump in here because the famous story from the Grand Canyon, I believe it was 1912, 1910, where they were canoeing down the Grand Canyon through the rapids, see some kind of opening in the, you know, side of the cave, pull over, they go in, mummified, it almost looked like an inside of an Egyptian tomb, different yep. sized races of people mummified in there, all kinds of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and all that stuff. And there's actually recorded documentation of the guy kind of flipped out, went back to the local town that had a telephone, called the Smithsonian. The local newspaper got a hold of it, ran the story. It's out there somewhere. Bradford, you've probably seen it before. Yep. All of a sudden, they close off parts of the Grand Canyon. That part you can't get to anymore. And they supposedly cleaned out all the cave of all the remains of what they found. Great story. They kind of touch a little bit on that in the Red Dead Redemption 2 video game. There's a lot of lore in that. Not that we've talked a lot about video games, but I'll stand on this hill and say that it's the greatest video game I've ever played before. It's uber deep. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, historian, all that stuff, great game to play. So many Easter eggs in that, from Bigfoot to Native American lore, to UFOs, to everything. They put a little stuff in there for everybody. So I agree 100%. Bradford, there's stuff that's out there that if the general public knew, it would change the whole foundation of what we know and how we do business. Professor, tinfoil hat, your recap of what Brad has to say.
I totally agree with him. I think it's legit, and people are crazy if they think we were the first ones here. So, I mean, I think there's a lot more, and I want to delve into a lot of what, go and do some research on what Brad said, because this one interests me a lot.
Yeah, check out that
the Mound People.
Yep. And that Grand Canyon story is out there. There's been videos of it. There's actually, it'll pop up every now and then. It seems like people have screenshotted certain things and it pops up and then it mysteriously goes away. There's pictures of, I know there's a lot of fake AI pictures and that stuff, but there's pictures of people stand next to skeletons that they found, and it's, you know, those old Separatone style photos that were taken with the gunpowder type camera. So they're out there. Phantom, what do you think?
Oh yeah, I'm in on this one. I've seen some videos, and I don't know if it ties to the same story of like archaeologists finding these big giant books, but these books were so big that they weren't like 10 feet tall people. I think the books were like 10 feet tall, and they found like a whole library of them. And it's wild. I really enjoy this stuff, because it just opens up your mind to just wander. And, you know, I'm sure some of it's BS, but you know, a lot of it seems like it's based out of some kind of truth.
Yeah. The whole thing about the conspiracy theory that I always love is, you know, you look at the way the structure of America was based, where everybody, we talked about Ted Williams leaving his baseball career and going to World War II to fight out of a volunteer thing. And everybody was on the same page until the Kennedy assassination. And if you look at that timeline of the Kennedy assassination, that's when America changed. There was a ton of people that said, well, wait a minute, something is wrong. We're not buying war bonds anymore. We're not shipping off to a foreign land at 18 years old, where you had the hippie culture, the counterculture come out of after that, because people were like, there's something going on that, you know, and it created more thought about what is everything we see actually what's going on. And so that's my timeline, as, you know, loving kind of history and conspiracy theories. The Kennedy assassination is what changed America for the thought process of not all being just lemlings going off the cliff, you know. I do agree with, there was a time where the America changed, with it became all the one percenters and how they erased everything before that, you know, with the Rothschilds and all that stuff, how they changed everything. If you look at, they say to get books, but previously to like 1920, because the books are all different compared to when classes were set up for kids to learn. It was all structured a certain way to become just part of the workforce. I tell the kids all the time, you want to stop a teacher dead in their tracks? Ask them to teach you how to balance your checkbook, or how to pay a credit card, or how to play the stock market. They'll never teach you that. That's all stuff that you have to look for. You have to do deep dives, because they will never teach it. Everybody has bills. Here's a rant for me. Everybody has bills, but they'll never teach you how to pay them in school. They'll never teach you that. It's true, right? Am I wrong? It's not lying if it's the truth.
It's true.
No, it's just like what George Carlin said. Just make you smart enough just so you can spin the gears a little bit more.
Right? Everybody has a credit card, but they'll never teach you how to use it. Nope. They'll never teach you how to buy a home. And out of the equity of your home, you got enough money that you can go buy another home and rent that one out. And then when you get that one going, you got equity in that home, and you can buy a third one. Next thing you know, you got four homes out of equity that you just had off of one purchase of a house that you live in. The other ones are all getting paid for. That's the stuff they don't teach you. That's all the stuff that's hidden. You got to go look. Anything that is worth doing, you got to go find. You got to go do the deep dives. You got to look into the conspiracy theories of whatever you think is BS. just go from there. The search for
knowledge. But it's not, because think about Brad, to go back to Brad's point about like gigantic people. Think about this. I mean,
like Brad,
every story. I mean, just look. Brad's tall. I mean, Brad's a tall guy. I mean, I know I work 60. With him.
To the Portuguese community, he's like Andre the Giant.
That he is. I mean, you know, he could step in the ring and make money. You know, I mean, if he could only drink a case of wine at a time, he'd be good to go. You know.
Yeah.
No, but I'm being serious. So, I mean, think about this. You look at the Bible, right? You talk about David and Goliath. Goliath was this giant person. Right. Yep. I mean, you talk about that footprint that they found in that piece of stone. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about that footprint in the stone. That's a footprint.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing is like five feet tall. You know,
there's no denying.
The Bible talks about Nephilim too, which were giants. So, I mean, it's the Bible is, if you're going to say the Bible is a historical reference, you know, geez, man, there's dragons and Leviathan and giants and there's all kinds of wacky stuff in the Bible.
And then there's the whole series of pieces of the books that they've taken out. Like they always talk about if you do that deep dive into
Book
that, the Book of Enoch with all Book that, where they, mm-hmm. you know, that supposedly there was whatever you feel is a race of angels came down, breeded with normal people and created that race of giants, right? Am I right or am I wrong? And that's,
I mean, they reference that in the Book of Genesis though.
Right. And supposedly one of those floods is what wiped out that. It was like a reset. Yep. So a lot of things to talk about. Lots and lots of stuff.
We should just do a whole hour podcast on conspiracies.
Oh, we could also do that. Brad's tinfoil hat deluxe. The deluxe edition, the director's cut.
Yeah.
Number one segment to his own show.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So a couple of things before we wrap up. Thomas, want to talk some album of the week and we'll wrap this up for Father's Day weekend.
Sure. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass., or online at purchasestrecords.com. They also have a Facebook page, so hit them up on there. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
So let's do some shout outs. We'll wrap this Father's Day episode up. I'll start. I must wish all the fathers that I know Happy Father's Day. If you have your father and he's still around, give him a big hug. Tell him the 1973 podcast sent you. Ed, what do you got this week?
Oh, I'm going to say big happy Father's Day to you, to Brad, to Ryan, to Big Ed, to Jeff. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for everybody for listening. And have a great weekend.
Phantom, what do you got?
My shout out is, I don't know if you guys have ever eaten there before. Have you ever had Dave's Hot Chicken?
Nope.
No, sir. I went to this place today in Braintree coming back from New Hampshire. Dave's Hot Chicken. Shit was awesome. Wicked good. Mm. Check it out.
Shout out to Dave's Hot Chicken. Don't be a chicken. Have some hot chicken.
Have some hot chicken.
Don't give those out for free, Andy.
True. It's probably not Southern hot chicken, but for up here, pretty good.
Bradford, I know that you've been a father more than once. A couple of them you acknowledge, a couple of them maybe you don't.
There's probably some running around New Mexico, Korea, Virginia, who knows, man.
You get around. You've been in witness protection. You've been on the USS flag. You've served as part of the G.I. Joe Cobra Corps. You've been all over the place.
Yeah.
What do you got this week?
The government sent me on some international business trips. And who knows what's out there? There's, you know, some little blonde-haired Korean kids running around. Who knows?
Yeah.
I just want to say... What's that?
Yeah, 6'7", so you know they're young. Yeah.
There's going to be a Korean basketball star here in a couple of years. I'll be like, holy shit. That's my kid. No, I'm playing. I do want to say Happy Father's Day to everybody. I think this is another conspiracy, the war on families. They've tried to devalue the power and authority and the importance of father figures. I want to say, fathers, you do matter. You are a big part of a child's development. You matter. It's Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. If you need help, reach out. Hotlines, helplines, hit me up and on my socials if you need to talk. I'm here for anybody, day or night, all the time. But Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, before we close it out with the professor, I just want to reiterate that thing that I told you last week, that it's pretty sad that out of all the holidays, including Arbor Day, Father's Day is celebrated 20th on the list. I think that's from a society, stuff like that needs to change. So when you get that pair of socks this weekend, you couldn't have done better than socks. All the time off I take for you, all the vacations I have, and they all go to the kids.
Sounds like another thing that's grinding your gears.
Hey, round around the family, pocket full of shells, baby.
Hopefully, I hope they give
you. I hope you get socks for Father's Day, man.
And they're gonna be tube socks, the one that you don't even know where the heel is.
If they give you socks, man, you better wear them shits proud with your denim cargo shorts and your Nike Air Maxes. You better wear them shits proud.
Professor, for a guy that knows a lot about tube socks over the years, finish us off.
My shout out is to Doug Keating and Cardboard Promotions. This weekend, Sunday, I believe it is, on Father's Day, they've got a big show in Dedham. They're two big guests. They've got Ray Bourque, and they've got 1980 Olympian Rob McClanahan. So if you're in the Dedham area, go check them out.
Very cool. So let's wrap this up for this week. That's 70 episodes in the book, and couldn't have done it without you, fine gentlemen, and you too, Ed. Thank you so much.